Blog Talk Radio.
That's a song being offered by Duane Hepner, founder of the New Presentation, the wonderful worldwide educators. And there are many projects in the process of beginning to appear here in the physical realm on Earth. The song is offered as a real connection to the real universes where there's real freedom and real love, not just this implied freedom and stuff we think is love. It's just emotional stuff. Today I'll read a little bit about a little of one of the new books of the Adventure Is series by Duane, the great writer. The books are available at lulu.com. This is new book 7 of the Adventure Is series. As a Mason goes through the 32 degrees of the Scottish Rite, he ends up giving worship to every Egyptian pagan god, the gods of Persia, gods of India, Greek gods, Babylonian gods, and any others, which are all the influence and the Kalam god of all religions. As one comes to the 17th degree, the Masons claim they will give a person the password that will give them entrance at the judgment day to their Masonic deity, the architect of the known physical universe. Their secret password is Abaddon. In the Christian Bible, Revelation 9:11. They had a king over them, the angel of the abyss, whose name is in Hebrew is Abaddon, the angel of the abyss, hell. Is really the chief of demons, whose name is Abaddon, which means destroyer. The deity god that the Masons worship is Abaddon. They can claim whatever they want to, but it is all the same dark forces of distortion and criminal destruction to control others in the name of a false invented god. As there are no real gods, only the all is real. Anything even attempting to be real becomes stranger than fiction, as there is no such thing as fiction, but exists only in the minds of people who cannot perceive reality. As I have went over in New Books 3, what is being experienced is what is being experienced is the essence of those trapped in time and space, as these two ideas are non-existent, but are still continually confirmed to be true for those who decide them to be so. I am giving the example of the formulation of the U.S. and its politics, as there are multitudes with the fixation that what is taking place has huge merit, when in fact it is all a plan to keep people returning for more lifetimes of the same obedience and behavior. The dark brats have a saying with their oaths and worship of control, and it goes along the lines of, the great strength of our order lies in its concealment. Let it never appear in any place in its own name, but always concealed by another name and another occupation. None is fitter than the lower degrees of Freemasonry to spread our plan. The public is accustomed to it, expects little from it, and therefore takes little notice of it. Next to this, the form of the learned or literary society is best suited to our purpose. And had Freemasonry not existed, this cover would not have been employed. And it is much more than a cover. It is a powerful engine in our hands. A literary society is the most proper form of for the introduction and spreading of our order into any state where we are yet strangers. This is thinking of those always wanting to smother the lives and earnings of others. We can see that it is the sleight of hand that is working here. And for most, it is hard to see and even accept, but as one learns and listens to the real guidance, they will be gently shown what their physical eyes cannot see. This is why the new presentation must always be new, as things of any nature soon grow old and outdated with any system or teaching on the earth. In 1534, Ignatius Loyola founded the Illuminati, the Church of Jesus, the Society of Jesus. The Jesuits are the power behind Freemasonry, which are also headquarters of the Knights of Malta. The basic idea was to combat the Reformation and propagate the faith. And here again we have belief, hope, and faith as the ideas in which people should agree, instead of looking to themselves as equal to all. The Reformation was to be salvation through grace instead of the Catholic. Church. The Catholic Church houses the Jesuit General and the other high Jesuit generals, and they are sorcerers. This Jesuit society is the power behind the presidents and the rest of the world. The Dark Pope Jesuits wrote the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion. In the early 1590s, Sir Francis Bacon began the detailed plans by which North America would be colonized. He was the supreme adept in the Rosicrucian Society and established the super secret Knights of the Helmet. Sir Francis Bacon was responsible for the modern birth of Freemasonry. The Masonic forefathers were merely following the details of an occult plan as envisioned specifically by Sir Francis Bacon in the 1590s. In the United States in 1773, the first Masonic circles began to appear. By the time of the American Revolution, nearly 150 lodges existed throughout the colonies. Through research, one can find and see that the hidden activities of the original occult forefathers were merely the outworking of a hidden plan originally conceived thousands of years before Columbus ever set sail. The Masonic forefathers were merely following the details of the occult plan as envisioned specifically by Sir Francis Bacon in the 1590s, operating according to the vision provided him by his guiding spirit, which was lower demons from the astral world. Before the U.S. Constitution in 1733, the first Masonic circles began to appear throughout the colonies. Around 1761, James Otis, born in Massachusetts, was as known for his famous challenge to the British as he imposed writs of assistance and general search warrants. designed to strictly enforce the trade and navigation laws in North America. At this time, he was reportedly coined the euphonious, oft-quoted phrase, taxation without representation is tyranny. He was chosen as Speaker of the House in 1766. James was a confirmed Mason, and what he then proposed set up an illusionary front to supposedly benefit others, while totally benefiting his political cohorts. Samuel Adams, born in Boston, was a major propagandist, opposing British officials and policies, as well as British taxation in the colonies. In 1773, he was part of the planning of the Boston Tea Party. Adams also signed the Declaration of Independence in 1776, served as a delegate to the Continental Congress until 1781, and became governor of Massachusetts from 1794 through 97. Samuel Adams was one of many confirmed Masons and Illuminists. The lower end, Freemasons have no idea that indeed the High Shriner Freemasons are working for the Jesuit general. They think they are just doing good works and being good people. But the bottom line is the high-level Freemasons are subject to the Jesuit general. As the Jesuit general with Frederick the Great wrote the high degrees, the last 8 degrees of the Scottish Rite Freemasonry. When Frederick protected the Freemasons, they were suppressed by the Pope in 1773. So you have the alignment with the Jesuit order and the most powerful Freemason they had in the craft, Frederick the Great, during their suppression. And then when you see the Napoleonic Wars, the French Revolution, and how the Napoleonic Wars were carried out by Freemasonry, everything Napoleon did, along with the Jacobins, was from the Jesuit order and the Black Pope of Vatican City. In 1775, it was Joseph Warren, soldier and leader in the American Revolution, who sent Paul Revere and William Dawes to Lexington and Concord on their famous ride to warn the local patriots that British troops were being sent against them. They also helped to draft a group of protests to Parliament known as the Suffolk Resolves. Joseph was a confirmed Mason. In December 1769, he received commission from the Earl of Dalhousie, Grand Master of Masons in Scotland, appointing him Provincial Grand Master of Masons in Boston and within 100 miles of the Seine. When the Earl of Dumfries succeeded Dalhousie as Grand Master of Scotland, he then issued another appointment to Joseph Warren to be Grand Master of Masons for the continent of America. Paul Revere, born in Boston and a hero of the American Revolution, whose dramatic horseback ride of warning the Boston area residents the British were coming, was also a confirmed Mason and Grand Master of the Massachusetts Lodge. The year is 1776, and John Hancock, born in Massachusetts, wrote and was the first to sign the Declaration of Independence and served 9 terms as the governor of Massachusetts, another confirmed Mason. Also, around this same time was Benjamin Franklin, who was born in Boston. He was one of the diplomats chosen to negotiate peace with Great Britain and one of the 56 who signed and helped draft the Declaration of Independence. He was already an agent for the elites and played the part of being on the side of the U.S. This document was instrumental in achieving the adoption of the U.S. Constitution. Benjamin Mason Franklin was the Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of Pennsylvania and published the first Masonic book in America. He was also a member of Sir Francis Dashwood's Hellfire Club, along with the Collins family of Satanists. Both Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson were members of this secret satanic cult who practiced satanic sexual occult ritual. It is not hard to see why children are taught to memorize the presidents and those involved in setting up the United States, as most of them were deceptive takeover planners, or they would be eliminated. It is known history that workmen have dug up the remains of 10 bodies hidden beneath the former London home of Benjamin Franklin. The remains of 4 adults and 6 children were discovered during the $31.9 million restoration of Franklin's home at 36 Craven Street, close to Trafalgar Square. Researchers surmise there could be more bodies buried beneath the basement kitchens. Initial estimates are that the bones are about 200 years old and were buried at the time old Ben was living in the house, which was his home from 1757 to 1762, and from 1764 to 1775. Most of the bones show signs of having been dissected, sawn, or cut. One of the skulls had been drilled out with several holes. The Westminster coroner said of the findings that this discovery cannot totally discount the possibility of a crime. It is interesting to note how Ben had a place in London, which is where all elite central banking is from. The dark rats have been very clever in creating huge deceptions to the humans on the earth. And it is now time for this information to be known, so that each person can make a choice to continue on here with these same people who will be returning for untold lifetimes, or learn to wake up and start their own journey to real freedom now. From the Jesuit College of Ingolstadt in 1776, it is said to have issued the sect known as the Illuminati of Bavaria. Its founder played a conspicuous role in the organization of this sect. In 1776, the Order of the Illuminati was officially founded in the old Jesuit stronghold of Bavaria. The company, kind of like the corporation, would now use the Jewish House of Rothschild to finance the French Revolution and the rise of Napoleon Bonehead, the Freemason, with his Jesuit-trained advisor. In spite of the historical writings of the Jesuit Abbe Barreau, who blamed the Rothschilds and Freemasonry for the Revolution, it was the Society of Jesu that used these very tools to carry out the revolution and punish the monarchs who dared to expel the Jesuits from their dominions. The Jesuits, having been expelled from the Spanish Empire, found refuge in Corsica. From there, they raised up their great avenger, Napoleon Bonehead. 1776, the Illuminati, a secret society and a secret society whose purpose and goals included establishing a new world hierarchy to overturn all authority and to press down all the social orders under the level of equality. The express aim of the new Illuminati order was to abolish Christianity and any religious or political opposition, and to overturn all civil governments and their respective states. Timeline 1777. Lafayette was a French noble who fought with the American colonists against the British in the American Revolution. Confirmed Mason and Illuminati member, he was appointed as a major general by the colonists and quickly struck up a friendship with the American commander-in-chief, George Washington. Charles Russell was founder of the Watchtower and Bible Tract Society, also a confirmed Mason. His mother was the one chosen to dance with famous Mason and Illuminati Lafayette when he was in Philadelphia. 1779, John Paul Jones, Scottish-born naval hero in the U.S. War of Independence, was a confirmed Mason. On July 16, 1782, the year after the British surrendered to the Americans, representatives of the world's secret societies convened the Congress of Wilhelmsbad in Europe and formally joined Masonry and the Illuminati. In the next 4 years, the order was able to secretly establish several lodges in America. In 1785, for example, the Columbian Lodge of the Order of the Illuminati was established in New York City. As president, Franklin D. Roosevelt said, "In politics, nothing happens by accident. If it happens, you can bet it was planned that way. The question of precisely what fires the will of the wealthy supranational elite seeking to manipulate and control world events has not escaped the attention of serious students of conspiracies and other cover-ups." The late American Professor Ravello Oliver, a confirmed atheist, from his mind was forced to conclude, "A theory that a conspiracy has been working consciously for many centuries is not very plausible unless one attributes to them a religious unity that is equal to regarding them as Satanists, engaged in the worship and service of supernatural evil. The directors of the conspiracy must see or otherwise directly perceive manifestations which convince them of the existence and power of something evil. And since subtle conspirators must be very shrewd men, not likely to be deceived by auto-suggestion, hypnosis, or drugs, we should have to conclude that they probably are in contact with a force of pure evil." Professor Ravello Oliver did touch upon the very heart of what was taking place, but did not have all the resources to see all of it. It is understandably hard for most people to take notice of what is happening right in front of them, as most people are fixed on their own destiny of pursuit. This is why the journey to real freedom is not for everyone, as it is too huge to calculate. And for those who do attempt it, they soon fall back to their personal life. A line out of the Illuminati protocols goes something like this: "In order that our schemes may produce our desired results, we shall arrange elections in favor of such presidents as they have in their past some dark, undiscovered stain, some forbiddenness, or other black marks, then they will be trustworthy agents for the accomplishment of our plans out of fear of revelations and from the natural desire of everyone who has attained power, namely the retention of the many privileges, advantages, and honor connected with the office of president. The Chamber of Deputies will provide cover, will protect, and will elect presidents. But we shall take from it the right to propose new or make changes in existing laws. For this right will be given by us to the responsible president, a puppet in our hands." In 1783, the Revolutionary War was fought and concluded when Cornwallis surrendered to Washington at Yorktown. Americans have been taught that they defeated the King of England and won their freedom. The Treaty of 1783 totally contradicts having won the Revolutionary War. This treaty was signed in 1783 as the war was over in 1781. If the United States defeated England, how is the king granting rights to America when Americans were now his equal in status? Americans supposedly defeated him in the Revolutionary War. So why would these supposed patriot Americans sign such a treaty when they knew that this would void any sovereignty gained by the Declaration of Independence and the Revolutionary War? Most Americans do not know that the U.S. is still a British colony, and the tainted legal system proves this. The District of Columbia is not part of the U.S., and the ruthless politicians ruling and dictating orders to all Americans work from an independent corporation all their own under the orders from the Black Pope. Something interesting to note, Prince Charles' coat of arms has a symbol, the Order of the Garter. The Order of the Garter is the parent organization over Freemasonry and is worldwide. When a man becomes a 33rd degree Mason, he swears allegiance to that organization and thereby to Prince Charles. The gods of man are many and there are still more to come. At this point, Rebazar let me rest as I left for a while with Miss Ursha and we flew to an unknown tropical island somewhere. That was a whole lot of history for Dwayne on Earth, she said as we both laughed. I'm glad it's not me anymore trapped in that body and having to suffer all the writing, I said. Then Ursha and I went off on some of our adventures for what seemed to be the longest of time frames, as we could re-enter any time frame we wanted to. When we returned, Rebazar was waiting for us to continue the real education about some of U.S. world history. The Declaration of Independence is not the source of any freedom in America, as it expresses the inherent individual human right to deny consent to be governed by government or any group of person claiming to be a government. The Declaration of Independence served notice on the head of state of Great Britain. And as one signer of the document said, these United Colonies are, and of right, ought to be free and independent states. That piece of paper, a war, and a peace treaty made it final until George Washington became president of the United States. George Washington fraudulently put himself at the head of a special kind of stealth Trojan horse government, intended from the beginning to administer property owned by a government that was a confederacy of those free and independent states. Washington was the mastermind behind this maliciously brilliant idea of a permanent government for the United States of the Northwest Territory, temptingly described and palmed off as this Constitution for the United States of America. Just a second, I got to get the thing back on. Okay. All right, where was I? Naive Americans to this day believe the Constitution of September 17, 1787 turned the Confederacy, the United States of America, into some kind of represented democracy or democratic republic or similar scheme where the people vote themselves rich. Votes were cast and Washington became a Roman dictator, hence the birth of the republic in front of a chosen God in the world. George Washington took an oral oath that he would as he said, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. And then the biggest seizure of power, property, and people's rights occurred without notice. As can be experienced in today's world of huge deficit, which China mainly owns the U.S., as this has been all the deal-making of the U.S. representatives with China. Washington knew, as any first-year law student knows, when he took that oral oath that it was insufficient to support any written constitution. During the time of John Quincy Adams, sixth president of the United States, Captain William Morgan of New York, convinced of the dangers of secret societies and a free government, resolved to use his best endeavors for their suppression. Being himself a royal archmason, he had witnessed the corruption of the institution he was involved with. He saw it as the taking of personal advantage and political aggrandizement, and that it gave to its members unfair advantages and extra privileges over the unsuspecting community, that its insidious influences also extended to every transaction in society, raising, as it were, the Masonic combination unto a privileged order, who, under the royal names of grand kings, grand sovereigns, and high priests, always in darkness and secrecy, ruled and plundered the unsuspecting people. Captain Morgan was a soldier and a brave man. He saw this detestable conspiracy, and he dared to risk his life by bursting its shackles and warning an injured people. Morgan wrote a book exposing the Masons entitled Illuminations of Masonry. He was arrested by a gang of Masonic desperados at the insistence of the master of the Lodge of Masons in Canandaigua, who came 60 miles after him around sunrise, September 11, 1826. Morgan was bound and weighted and drowned in the Niagara rivers by the Masons. A monument to William Morgan stands in the old cemetery in Batavia, New York. On its base are carved the following inscriptions. Sacred to the memory of William Morgan, a native of Virginia, a captain in the War of 1812, a respectable citizen of Batavia, and a martyr to the freedom of writing, printing, and speaking the truth. He was abducted from near this spot in the year 1826 by Freemasons and murdered for revealing the secrets of their order. The court records of Genesee County and files of the Batavia Advocate, kept in the recorder's office, contain the history of the events that caused the erection of this monument. September 13, 1882. The bane of our civil institutions is to be found in Masonry. Already powerful and daily becoming more so, I owe to my country an exposure of its dangers. Captain William Morgan. Following the murder of Captain Morgan, three state legislators investigated Freemasonry. It was first New York in 1829, and then Massachusetts in 1834, and Pennsylvania in 1836. In addition to obtaining willing testimony from other Masons who left Freemasonry as to the nature and substance of the oaths, the investigation soon revealed that a criminal empire had already entrenched itself in America. Obstruction to the investigations was encountered at every level of the government from the black hearts who were not going to surrender what they had legally already stolen from others. In Massachusetts of 1829, the convention passed resolutions stating that no Mason is worthy to receive the votes of free men or fit to serve as a juror. Of course, this does sound good for the times, but it is like a slap on the hand for stealing the nation's riches. In 1848, Alexander Dumas wrote The Count of Monte Cristo, which he was referring to the Jesuit general, the black dope. Alexander Dumas was writing about the Jesuit general getting vengeance when the Jesuits were suppressed and many of them were consigned to an island, 3 hours sailing west off the coast of Portugal. And so when the Jesuits finally regained their power, they punished all of the monarchs of Europe who had suppressed them, drove them from their thrones, including the Knights of Malta from Malta, using Napoleon. And Alexander Dumas, who fought for the Italian patriots in 1848 to free Rome from the temporal power of the Vatican dope, wrote many books. October 7, 1849. Edgar Allan Poe was murdered. Edgar Poe was not a drunk or drug addict, as history would lead many to believe, and did not die from a drug overdose. Edgar Poe was exposing the Masons and their political treachery through many of his short stories. It was inevitable that Poe would not only run afoul of the festering secret society, but end a victim of their argument. He was not a passive recipient, and he did his best to immortalize a searing indictment in Masonry in at least 4 of his short stories. All of this becomes an educational journey as one is still on the earth. It is best to know at least some of what has taken place in real human history. And many times a person can trace their own relationships back to many previous lifetimes where they were very unaware and mainly the victims and effect of everything around them. This simple knowledge alone is not enough, because the real you wants to keep exploring until a full recognition and realization of the all is takes place. Then the real moment of the true nowness occurs, and you can then step into the endless positions it is. Until that moment, one is searching for all the right comparisons to set themselves free from their own designed matrix. That was some of New Book 7 of the Adventurist series by Dwayne the Great Writer. The books are available at lulu.com. So I'll end the show today with a new song. New